Hello everyone, this is your host Maya and welcome to a new episode of Neighborhood Therapy. I'm here with my friend Desh. I will let him introduce himself and how we met.
Hey, I'm Desh. I'm an artist, an extreme sports athlete, an entrepreneur, and a surfer, which is I met Maya because I was surfing in Tagazut, and we happened to walk by each other and lock eyes, and I wanted to let her know that she was attractive, and that was pretty much it. We couldn't hang out that night because I was dealing with food poisoning, but
yeah, blame you on the food poisoning.
Yeah. But we stayed in touch and became friends, and it's been a fruitful friendship so far.
Almost a month.
Almost a whole entire month.
Ah,
damn.
We should have like 1 month anniversary for our friendship.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. Yeah. Get a cake.
Not really. We can get like a sandwich or something.
I would really love a cake though.
Oh yeah, well, you have something for cakes. Yeah. Anyway, so I'm glad to have you today.
Excited to be here.
And our episode is about burnout. We picked this topic mainly because I've been going through a burnout myself, like for the past 2 months, I guess. And it's the reason why I came home and decided to stay this long. Because usually I don't really stay home this long. I'll be like here for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and I'll be like, okay, adios amigos, see you next year. But I really needed a break from my routine, my work, everything that I do every day. And I was just like, let me move to, I don't know, go back home, have a fresh air. And maybe it's going to help. But yeah, that's why I came here. But I figured when I invited you to do the podcast that you two actually was going through something similar. So tell us about your experience with burnout. Or like the symptoms that made you think like, oh, I am actually like going downhill.
I'm actually coming off of a long stint of burnout. I think my flame just reignited recently. So I spent the past year and a half dealing with my burnout.
What did you think? I mean, how did you find out that, like, oh, you know, I'm actually, like, in the burnout phase?
I had zero motivation. I feel like to say creative block would be
an understatement.
An understatement, exactly. I had gotten to the point where I didn't even want to create. You know, I used to get up at like 5 or 6 in the morning and I had a routine and I was out the door as the sun was rising. I had my camera on me and I had plans with every other creator that I knew.
When was this?
This was a while ago. It's two, three years ago. Okay. But even up until 2023, I was shooting in Egypt. I was shooting in Jamaica. I was meeting other creators from around the world, and we would meet and create, and I loved it. And then I had a lot of clientele in Los Angeles, and it had just gotten to the point where I didn't feel like I was creating for me. And I didn't enjoy it. And I actually ended up dropping all of my clients. And I have to also add in that I got injured. So I was without the use of my legs for a few months, which added to all of that. But yeah. I was burnt out.
Okay. For me, it started, I think, like 5 months ago. So basically, I only had one job since I graduated. But recently, like more than 6 months ago, I think I started having another job. But I took the second job thinking that I'm just going to leave the first one for good because it was a remote and that's what I wanted. But the remote one was not really that much of a guarantee, so I couldn't just let go of the other one. Because the other one comes with like insurance, it comes with a lot of, you know, stable people stuff. Remote was not really giving me that much, and I couldn't just let go of that for something that maybe one day they're going to stand up and be like, you know what, Maya, thank you very much. We appreciate you, but you're done. Which actually happened, so I'm thankful that I kept my first job. But I started working and I was thinking this is just going to be for a couple months until, like, you know, I'll find something and I'll just, like, pick one. And I end up doing that for more than half of a year, working two jobs. When I say working two jobs, it's not like you work at your own pace. You work at the pace of your employer, like, employer. So I had, like, a really charged schedule. So I'm getting job from my office job and I'm getting, like, work from my other job. And I have to do them and I have deadlines and I have meetings and everything. It's like working 8 to 5, but you double it every day. Where I start to take work with me to the house, where I start to work weekends. Before, I used to have freelance, but when I started these two jobs, I couldn't do freelance anymore because there was literally no time. It started to kind of overshadow every other personal aspect of my life.
Yeah.
And I start to have literally little personal time. Because before, I would be like, take myself on solo dates, or I will take myself on just like half a day where I'd be like, you know what, I'm not really doing anything. And I won't feel guilty actually of not doing anything because I would just go to the beach or go to the spa. I would do something. But that kind of became non-existent when I start to have those two jobs. And also it came with a lot of traveling, which affected me physically as well. Because I would work, for example, today I'm working, I'll finish work by 5. I'll have to pack my bag and head to the airport by 3 a.m. or 2 a.m., which means that I'm barely having any sleep. Go to the other city, which is like 1 hour, 30 minutes flight. I will work from 8 to 5. And straight from that job, I will head to the airport again. And then from the airport, I will reach like 2 a.m. And then the next morning, I'm supposed to be at my other job by 8.
Yeah.
So I kept doing that for 6 months. And oh, at the beginning when I started working the remote, it was not once a month. It was twice a month to travel. So imagine doing that twice a month.
Yeah.
Plus the gym. And I think I didn't really give myself the rest that I needed.
Plus the gym. Plus these gains.
Not really the gains. But for me, I think the gym is what kept me sane. And I think did not really make me go to the burnout as fast as other people might actually go to the burnout.
Yeah.
Because
it's a part of therapy.
Yeah. But my symptoms were, I felt exhausted all the time. Even when I'm resting, I feel exhausted. Even when I'm like just laying in bed, not doing anything, I feel I am tired. You know, like wired but tired. Like my mind is constantly at work while I'm actually laying down. And while I'm laying down and trying to have rest, I'm feeling guilty for laying down because I am actually way behind.
Yeah.
And I think the frustrating point where I felt like, you know what, I'm really going downhill from here, because everyone that used to meet me, they were like, Maya, you look tired. And for me, because I think I kind of detached myself from everything that I was feeling, I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, I'm fine. I literally, like, you know, I was just at the gym a few minutes. Like, I'm good. And I'm like, you really look tired. And then people from the gym, whenever they see me entering the gym, they're like, Maya, you look tired. Like, and then you, Maya, look tired just became something that I hear from every person that I meet. That at some point, I start to feel a certain way. I'm like, how the fuck do I really look that everyone I meet says that I'm tired?
Right.
So, yeah.
It's almost normalized in your daily routine. And I mean, that's a huge part of, like, I think coping with burnout as well. Or at least preventing it is establishing healthy boundaries.
Yeah, I think I just let work. I don't know. I felt like I had to, how can I say? Because I took the deal of doing both of them, I felt like it was my responsibility to make sure that I do good in both of them. Because it was my decision to actually work on both of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I couldn't blame one on the other, and I shouldn't be taking the blame because I did it. You know, I did it for myself. So I should do the work. And then it's just like, how can I say?
High expectations.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. When people were saying like, oh, you look exhausted, I will say that I'm exhausted. I will just look at the money that I'm making. But now looking at it, I was like, the money that I was making did not really.
Well, no, you had zero work-life balance, right?
No, I didn't really have any balance in my life.
90-10. Excessive workload, XYZ, like, Yeah. As a professional, I feel like that's the fastest way to burn out, and you don't even really get anything out of it. Like, at least as from an artist standpoint, like, I'm still making art at some point, right? So like that was kind of keeping me going. Like, I'm still producing art. When I post it, some people are inspired, some people like it. You know, you might get the boost of dopamine off of social media or TikTok or Instagram, but I'm an artist, so it's my art that I'm sharing, even if it's not with my intention and my purpose, even if it's for a client, like, I'm still getting something, right? But I feel like when you're a professional and you're just, it's all about like making money, it's, I don't know, as a human being, like, what do you get out of it?
Yeah, you're right. Because it's not even about like high, I don't know. You know, for example, for me, when I started, like, I don't know, maybe in your career or your like creative path, you hit a point where you were so enthusiastic, like, you were so enthusiastic about what you were doing that you just want to give it your all. But when you are actually in that high, you're not really paying attention that, you know what, you're going overboard with, I mean, maybe you're working a lot, you're doing right. A lot of stuff while you should be actually taking rest in between, but you weren't.
Nah, yeah.
That's the same thing that happened with me, because at the beginning, when I think the minute that I start to figure out that I can actually have more than just my office job and I can do other stuff, because even before I got this second job, I was doing freelance, and my dumbass, I would take projects with no regards to my schedule. So I will be working on something at the moment, and if someone comes to me, hey, Maya, are you like, I need this, I'm like, yeah, sure. And then I'll just keep adding stuff.
Stacking on.
Yeah. And then for me, at the time, I'm like, I'm making money, so that's going to help me later. You know, when I want to travel, when I want to leave the lifestyle that I want to do, that's going to be the price that I pay for me to live what I want to live. You know what I mean? Because I'm not going to lie, not a lot of people that I work with will be able to travel as many times as they want or just go to places whenever they want, because financially they really can't.
Right.
By the end of the month, your salary is almost covering what you have to do, as in, you know,
the bare minimum.
Exactly.
So you were using it as like justification, right?
Yeah, for me, that was the justification. Yeah. For me to live the life that I want, for me to do the stuff that I actually like to do, which is like travel and see places and meet people.
You gotta suffer.
Exactly. So I have to go through that and suck it up, because, but now I'm like, fuck that, man. I can't, because I'm not longer gonna have the energy to actually suck it up. And I think I was really, how can I say? I'm not going to lie. I had a proud, like, prideful moment where I was like, you know what? You're really making a good living, smart living, whatever. At this point, it's dumb. Because, like, oh, I'm making money and doing this and doing that. And I can, you know, I'd be like, and I don't know, for some reason, I used to always compare it when we are in school. You know, when you have, like, the exam period and you just stay all night studying and doing stuff, I'm like, I'll use that same energy that I used to do back in the days to sit down and finish a website or finish an app or finish whatever. But it's not. I'm not 18. I'm not 16 anymore. I'm almost 30. So you don't have the same energy anymore to do the same stuff.
No, the reserves are depleted. I'm working on the reserves, but I agree. I think that the balance right now is, like, making sure that I don't even have to dip into my energy reserves. And I'd rather do yoga and stretch and meditate in the morning and drink a smoothie and relax and maybe watch the sun come up, or, I don't know, enjoy my morning, as opposed to, like, getting up and grind.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I think the moment that I start to find that I actually, I'm not really in a good place, because I'm not going to lie, I didn't really know that it was a burnout. At the beginning, I was just thinking, like, I'm just stressed. And then I found out when I was preparing for the episode that literally, like, the first stages of burnout, it starts with, like, stress. Like, how can I say, like, they call it, like, the honeymoon phase, where you literally, the honeymoon phase is when you actually get so excited about what you're doing that you let it kind of overtake any other parts of your life. And then there is the second part, which is the stress. So when you start noticing that you have more stressful days than non-stressful days, then, and I had that, because throughout the week, Maya is stressed. Whenever someone asks me, like, hey, how was work? I'm like, man, don't even ask me how I'm stressed. It literally, like, it became almost a synonym to it became something that I say every day, which really sucks now looking back at it. That I'm always stressed. There is always something that is...
And you normalize it.
Yeah.
Right.
And it becomes the norm. So every day that you are stressed. And I started to actually have migraines. At the time, I didn't know what was the reason for migraines. I felt that because maybe I'm sitting in front of the screen like a lot of hours of the day. Maybe that's the reason. And I went and got glasses. That actually helped. But I don't know if...
Like the blue light glasses?
Yeah. And after that, I really had like migraine that was... It was really hard. Like it was really strong that I wouldn't be able to do anything.
It's debilitating.
Like I would go home. I would take like painkillers. I would try to sleep and I would wake up with that same migraine.
Ooh.
So you know that migraines when you are laying down and then when you're waking up, you feel like half of your face is about to fall. That's how I was feeling. And I think that's when I'm like physically, even though that I'm going to the gym and everything, I don't really feel all right. And also other aspects of my life that used to make me feel good, they're no longer making me feel good. I'm like, whatever used to excite me doesn't excite me anymore.
Yeah, you don't have energy for it.
And
I feel like at that point you're essentially in a state of survival. I feel like most people have been in that state at this point in their lives. And survival. I mean, your body is producing different neurotoxins, like your perception of reality is changing, your diet is changing, your habits are changing, and you're no longer happy, you know, like it's every day is a struggle.
Yeah.
And it's a snowball effect, because not only are you dealing with the burnout and the excessive workload and trying to be a high achiever and all the other factors that lead to your imminent burnout, but now you're also dealing with like being unhappy, and it affects you socially, it affects you with your family. Now you're trying to figure out how to be like a better person. For me, at least, I was like, I couldn't relate to people at a certain point. Like, I didn't want to have conversations. I was finding it difficult to socialize. I didn't want to go out as much. And even when I did go out, like I didn't have energy to be there, so I couldn't converse. I couldn't be present. You know, I lost my presence, and it just snowballed.
I think I relate to the part where you said that you couldn't relate to people anymore, because like I used to tell people, like, I don't know, for me, especially when I told you, like a lot of people that used to see me, they were like, "Oh, you look tired." And then when people ask me, I'll be like, you know what, I'm just tired, man. And then I felt like they're like, oh, you'll be fine. But or whatever sentence, whatever reply that they're going to give. But I felt like no one really knew how tired I felt. You know, they thought that like maybe physically tired, or maybe you just had like you didn't sleep well last night or something like that. You know, the normal random stuff that happens every day. Like, oh, that's what calls for you to be this tired. But when I start to notice that I've been saying that I'm tired for a very long time, and it's not even about saying it, it's like I feel tired, like
chronically tired.
Yeah, chronically tired. That, and the worst part of it is like I'm so tired.
Like, bro, I'm dying.
Yeah, like I'm so tired that when I go to bed, I can't wait to go to bed. But when I go to bed, I cannot fucking sleep.
Yeah,
I can't fucking sleep, and I cannot get up in the morning. I had many, many mornings where I came late, and I'm pretty sure a coworker of mine can actually be a witness for this. Because when I'm leaving the elevator to go to my office, he's someone that I pass by, and he gives me a look, and I give him a look, and I'm like, you know, I know. Because he's always like disappointed, like, Maya, you should start coming like early, like, come on, like, you know. The manager one day is going to be pissed. I'm like, man, I can't, like, I really try.
Yeah.
But at this point, it felt like something that I can't help. Like, you just, like, I can't get out of bed. I'll be putting an alarm by like 6:30, and I might end up waking up by 8 a.m. And imagine I had two jobs. So literally, like, the second job will have a daily meeting by 8. I'm getting that meeting in bed. and I'm getting ready as they are actually doing the meeting, and yeah. I'm walking my dog as they are doing the meeting, and I go back home, drop the dog, and be like, okay, I'm driving as they're doing the second meeting, then I reach my second job.
That's depressing.
Man, it was so hard. I'm like, is this really what I'm actually like working for? This is not the life I aspire to have. No. And I think when I start to feel like I can't get out of bed and I can't really sleep, I used to really struggle to sleep. I think I really did quit like the whole smoking, not even occasionally. I don't at all.
Yeah.
And then for some part, when I really couldn't sleep, I remember I think I asked someone, I guess. And then it just gave me a joint and it was just by my bed. And I felt like for the night, and imagine even a joint couldn't fucking make me sleep.
That didn't even help?
No, it didn't. I don't know if it's because my tolerance is really high, that's why it just didn't. But I couldn't sleep. I really couldn't.
Weed was kind of my saving grace. It was my saving grace in a lot of ways, but also made the social aspect of my life like way worse, because it would alleviate a lot of pain. It would slow me down. It would sometimes make my mind hyperactive. So if I smoked weed at night, I would start making hella art, which mm-hmm. felt really good, because then I was creating what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
But
I did read actually that when you reach a certain level of burnout, you might go to another stuff that's gonna give you that excitement and that, you know,
right.
like the dopamine, or just like something's gonna make you like, oh, you know what, I'm really excited to do this, because your body is really like no energy whatsoever. That little hope, like that light, you're like, okay, now I can actually work and do stuff.
You develop a dependency, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And then you're gonna start actually getting addicted to that thing, because apparently it's the only thing that's gonna make you do stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe coffee, if that's like counts as an addiction. And I think that's something that I think so. I've seen on a video yesterday about a burnout. It says like when you start to take caffeine, because I think it has like a substance, so that's the only thing that's gonna give you that kick. And she said literally the same time where I usually take my coffee, because like every day at work by 2:33, the lady downstairs, she already knows that I'm coming. She's like, Maya, the usual. I'm like, yes, the usual. Like, it's like, you know, a drug dealer.
She's already got your cup made.
Yes, and she's already, like, she just, like, the minute she sees me, she's not making my coffee, and she's just giving me a coffee. I'm going to the office, and I'm happy. That minute that I actually took the coffee, like, for that hour, I'm working superb. But after that, and I'm like, why the hell am I taking coffee in the afternoon? And then I'm going home, like, after 3 hours, and I'm going to try to sleep.
Yeah, that's impossible. Because, I mean, just what caffeine actually does is, which I'm sure you know, but, like, just blocking the neuroreceptor in your brain that makes you feel tired.
Yeah.
It doesn't actually
like
give you...
blocking it.
Yeah, it doesn't give you energy.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Yeah.
But it's sad. So I had the same friend that usually, like, my coworker that, like, please come early, is the same person that is, like, please stop drinking coffee.
Hey, lay off the caffeine.
Yes, it's like you should really like stop drinking the coffee, like, you know.
Why are you scratching your neck like that? You look like a druggie when you come in. Yeah, guys, it's still working.
No, because like he's like, I paid attention. Like he said, I know that every day you go, you said like, you know how much money you are spending on that coffee that you get every day. Like, I don't really care about the money. I just care about the fact that I feel the way that I feel and I can actually finish tasks. Because at some point I felt like, if I'm not going to take that cup of coffee that afternoon, I'm not doing jack shit. I will just be sitting in the office. Even though that I have work, I won't be able to do it. I literally like feel like a zombie. I'm just like dead, you know?
I think you are pretty much at that point.
Yeah, I'm just like, yeah. That's it. So anyway, so that's how like my symptoms, or how I knew that, you know what? This is not just me being stressed, and this is not me just having a work overload. This became not a pattern, but almost like that just became me. And I wasn't happy about the me then. I'm not happy with the me now either, but at least it's not the same, I guess.
I think you're great, but I understand.
Oh, you need to see me when I go back to Cyprus.
Okay, I understand.
Not in a good way. I'm just gonna be like
Zombie Maya or full of energy, man,
like,
happy.
You know, like someone is running behind you kind of thing, you know? You always have something. You always like, you just like, even now, and I think what made it actually worse, and that's a problem that I have, hopefully it's going to get fixed when I come back to Cyprus, is the, at some point in my first job, I was the only one left in the team. The only developer. So every task that comes to that team, it's me that's going to do it. While I have another job. And that other job, I just don't do my job. I do my job and another job. So at that point, you know, when I tell people like, you have no clue what's going on in my mind. Like, it's not just wired. You know those memes where they show you saying something and then you're like, you know, that emoji, like mind explosion?
Yeah.
That's how my mind felt for almost the whole week. So it wasn't healthy at all. I always thought that like I have something on my mind. Like I couldn't just like rest. There was no resting, honestly.
No.
No. And for some reason, it just took the fun out of even me going out. Because when I used to go out with my friends, like let's say grab a drink by a bar, that was like a tradition. We go to the same bar, same table, just the same people and the same band playing. And then we just get wasted, literally. And then we come back home the next morning, there's a Sunday, no one cares because no one has work. Maya, when she started this like phase,
yeah.
I can't even get that wasted because I'm like, I have shit to do the next day. I don't know if it's me being responsible, but I felt the guilt that I couldn't even have fun because I have stuff to do. So I'll be like, you guys have fun. You guys get wasted. You guys drink and good, like, you know, have fun. And then me, I will just drink enough to just have a little buzz. And then I'll be, yeah. I have to wake up early next morning.
I can relate. Because you're not getting satisfaction when you're at work. Like, you're not getting the dopamine you need. So outside of work, you're feeling like, oh, I didn't even do good enough. I didn't even hit whatever benchmarks or goals or whatever I needed to feel.
I just remember the tasks that I still have to do.
Yeah.
And that would be enough for me to just be like, oh.
And your mind is hyperactive because the entire time you're not at work or you're trying to sleep, you're still thinking about what you need to do to feel better. Exactly. You know, and it's like, it's a cycle. It's rough.
It is.
Yeah.
And then when, for example, when I came home, this is the first time ever, I've never thought that I will have the courage to come and tell my parents, you know what, I'm coming to Morocco with regards to the culture, with regards to the religion and everything. For a girl to just like be in Morocco, be next to your family, but you choose to be somewhere else just by yourself. At first, my dad was like, why are you coming there? Like, we can go all together. And I'm like, I'm not taking a vacation. I literally just need time for myself to not do anything and not think of anything. And I don't want anything around me that's going to stress me.
Right.
Not even the little triggers. I don't want to have nothing. So that's literally the week that I spent in Tarazut. I didn't want nothing.
Yeah, you just got to shut off.
Yeah, I just wanted to shut off. And I was not interested in making anything. You know what? I just want to do nothing.
Yeah.
You know? And that was my week. And then for me to actually have the guts. And I remember I sent my dad. And then I think I was in a video call with him. And I was like, oh, where are you going? Blah, blah, blah. Like, just come. Let us see you first. And then you can go. And then for some reason, I don't know, I was like, maybe my dad's not going to understand where I'm coming from. But then later on, I remember I was driving in Cyprus and I was like, you know what, let me just send him a voice note, explain to him exactly where I'm at mentally. So that would give him a clear idea why I want to actually go. And I just told him, old man, I'm very tired, like mentally saturated, and I'm not going to meet anybody. So I'm going to spend that week by myself. And then, and especially for someone that has a relationship that I had with my dad, for me to send that voice message was, that took a lot of courage.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't want to see anyone. I just want to be by myself.
I appreciate it, but not a chance. Thank you. Bye.
What do you mean? Him?
Yeah.
No, he said like, I was joking.
No, you to him.
Oh no, I was like, I'm doing whatever to actually go by myself. Like, don't even try it. Like, whatever the hell you're going to say, no, it's not going to.
I get that. I had a roommate during my burnout. Ex-girlfriend turned roommate, really close friend. Like we were really good friends. We're still friends, but I was to the point where I was pretty much in the same boat, and I not only could I not it was hard to find the satisfaction that I was so used to getting from making art. So I would sit, I moved all of my equipment, all of my paintbrushes and my camera gear and everything up to like the loft area. Mm-hmm. And I would barricade myself in my loft for like 10 hours at a time.
Why?
Just because I was in that mode. I was like, I have to make something. Like I need...
But you can't force it.
No, you can't. But I, the same way like you can force being satisfied in your job, but you know, nonetheless, yeah. You worked too and you slept 2 hours a night, 3 hours a night, and migraines and XYZ. Like, art was a job, but it was also like a passion. So I was, I wanted to feel it. I wanted to feed myself. And this is at the beginning of the burnout. You know, I was trying to grasp, I was grasping at straws, I felt like. And I would be in my loft for like 10 hours. And like sometimes I would skip lunch or, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Breakfast.
You know, our friend would come home and be like, yo, have you moved since I saw you last? And I'd be like, no. What time is it? And she'd be like, it's been like 9 hours.
Yeah.
I'd be like, oh, fuck. Okay. So, and honestly, like, thank God for her, because she'd be like, yeah, you should just come down. Like, just take a break. Like, well, I gotta do this thing. I have to finish this.
Did it feel for you, for example, if you just took 15 minutes break, that was a lot of time that you could have achieved a lot in that 15 minutes,
yes.
But you should not actually take that 15
exactly.
minutes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because that's how it used to feel for me.
Yeah. It felt like I was gonna...
I don't know what the hell we're gonna achieve in
15
minutes.
Moment. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. It was just, yeah. Like, weird. I think, for me, my last... stage of burnout, or at least like the last part where it reached, I was like not caring. I was like, whatever. You know what? At some point, for even meetings and like my work, I'm like, I don't really care if it goes through. That's not going through. I was like, I was so exhausted that I had zero fucks to give anybody. I'm like, whatever it is, you would. I wake up some like. Couple mornings, and when I cannot get out of bed, I was like, if they want to fire me, they can fire me.
Yeah.
Initially, I was like, I don't care. I like myself here. I really don't want to get out. And I think I hated my job at that time. I really did. I hated going to the office, driving to the office, the whole shenanigan. I was just like, mm-mm.
When I finally did burn out, and I was in LA, and all my art equipment's upstairs, I didn't touch my camera. I had just bought, I spent $15,000 on a cinema camera and lenses. And
that's a lot of money.
A lot. Audio equipment. It was an upgrade so I could start shooting like mm-hmm. super expensive commercials. And I was working with some teams and had big plans. I had a TV show lined up. So I was excited. And then I burned out and I didn't touch my camera for a year. It was collecting dust, both cameras. I would go on walks through my neighborhood just to be outside, not bring my camera. I didn't want to go to any shoots. I didn't want to go to any meetups. Like, I didn't even want to talk about art. People would be like, yo, what do you do? And it was like, I felt...
offended?
No, not offended. Almost like... what is it called? Were you... Like imposter syndrome.
Oh, like you're not good enough.
Yeah, I felt imposter syndrome. Not that I wasn't good enough, just that I'd spent so much time being an artist, and now I was in this place where I didn't feel like an artist. And I get that's also cognitive dissonance, but I wanted nothing to do with the art. Yeah, I just, and then I had no, I was having ego death. I did a few shroom trips, but like. Yeah. Like my whole personality, my identity was, it felt like it was gone when I burned out. Like I didn't even know how to identify. It was.
I think for me, for some reason, when I had like, not friends, but like just people that I would talk to, like especially like day to day, like maybe work, and they'd be like, with everything that is going on with you, how can you keep going to the gym every day, even though like you're in your lunch break? I don't know, for some reason I felt like I couldn't let go of that because somehow that's me. Because I felt like if the gym also would just go out of the window, then what's left?
Yeah.
At least I have nothing. I'm just working all day and I'm just going to go home and sleep and come and repeat the same thing the next morning.
People ask you, like, who are you?
And you're I don't know what the fuck to say.
I don't know. That's a...
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what I don't even... Shit.
Even though, like, I used to do the gym and I used to pay for private classes of kickboxing. Even though that I literally like have no energy, sometimes I'll just pull myself to go out of there because that's the only thing that is keeping me like connected to me. If that makes sense. Like I'm connected to myself somehow through the gym and kickboxing. And people will think that I'm doing it for the gains or for the flexes or to protect myself if someone's going to... No, man, I'm not doing that I'm just doing it for what it means to me. And that sucks, looking like saying this actually really sucks because I literally stopped doing anything. I think even for reading during the last 2 months before I traveled and I came here, I remember in my last trip to Istanbul, I really bought a lot of books, and one book I stayed reading it for God knows how long, and usually it doesn't take me that long to finish a book. And at some point I felt like even reading is just like heavy for some reason, like, oh, it's just like a demanding task that I don't have the time for at this point. So literally all I do when I come home is like maybe eat as I'm watching a comforting show that is not gonna make me think, and then I'll just go to bed. And then I am someone, I would love to think that I'm very self-aware of everything that I do. So when I sit down and think to myself, like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm really losing it. Like, slowly by slowly, like, I am really losing myself in whatever the fuck I'm doing.
It feels like you have no sense of purpose, no direction, no...
Am I on any path?
Yeah.
Is it the right path? Is it, like, I don't know.
It's, like, worse than a plateau because you're, like, I've been doing all this...
For what?
Yeah.
Literally.
I'm like, miserable. I look like a zombie. My friends, you know, however your relationships with your friends worked out, mine was... declining rapidly.
my relationship, like, I used to have maybe like once a week or twice a week a call with my mom or with my family, and then it just went really like low. Maybe I'll have three calls a month. My brother, I used to talk to him. I stopped, not really stopped, but I felt like, you know, when that moment that I go home, I feel like I don't want to do nothing. So I don't want to be on my phone. I don't want to be doing anything. Like, my social battery was just like, I already don't have that huge social battery, even on normal days in my best energies. But it felt like when I was in burnout, it was just like no, almost non-existent. As you said, like, I didn't want to like have long ass conversation because I felt like, what's the point?
I didn't even know what to talk about.
Yeah.
And it was so rough, like living in LA. First of all, living in LA is a beast in itself. So much ego and fucking fake personalities. And the number one question people like to ask is like, oh, what do you do? You know, who are you? What do you do?
And it's like, what do you do to define you somehow?
And in the place where you're burnt out, having so many people ask you like, oh, what do you do?
It's not really a good place
to You know, I wait for the sun to go down so I can smoke a joint and cry with my moody lights on. I don't know, man. Like, nothing at this point. I don't feel like an artist. You know, I'm an artist who doesn't make art, and I'm an entrepreneur who no longer has clients or makes money through his business. And I'm a extreme sports athlete who doesn't do extreme sports. I don't do anything right now. It's also miserable.
I understand.
Yeah.
Because for me, even though that I had two jobs, I have like a friend of mine that is from university and he's in Nigeria. He might not have the, I think at the moment he's not really employed. He's like unemployed, looking for a job, but he's super smart. When I say super smart, really super smart. And when I see the stuff that he does, bear in mind, unemployed, okay?
Yeah.
When I see the stuff he does and I see what I do, I feel like he's more of a software engineer than me. I feel like I'm not really doing what I'm supposed to do, if that makes sense. Even though that, like, I am working in my field and everything, but
like almost like by a template.
No, it's not even about that. It's just like I feel I'm not really not worthy, but like maybe not good enough to be called a software engineer, even though that I'm doing all of this work. I have the same thing that you said, which is like imposter syndrome, because when I'm gonna apply to a new job, I'm just gonna be like, oh fuck, what if actually they're gonna call me to interview me? I don't think that I'm gonna pass.
Why?
That's me saying it to myself, you know?
I feel you.
And then I'll just like be nervous and I'll be preparing all of that. And for some reason, when you do pass, you just seems like a big ass surprise to you, like, oh, you're really good.
Right, you're like,
Even though
wow, how'd I
that.
do that?
But yeah. But I think when you're in the burnout before, I used to actually apply for jobs. I'd be like,
You almost want to ascertain it to luck, you know?
Yeah. I was like, I was just lucky. So when I was actually like through my burnout, I stopped actually applying to jobs. I was just like, for some reason, I was like, this is faith. This is, and you feel stuck for some reason. And you're like, what am I supposed to do? But yeah. So anyway, enough about symptoms, enough about how we were feeling during, well, not during, I mean, I'm still suffering, not suffering from it, but I'm still in burnout. I'm not gonna
Yeah,
lie.
I'm just I feel like I just kind of got over. I can see the light, you know what I mean?
For me, I still can't see the light. Like, I'm walking towards it, but I can't, like, I'm not gonna lie. I don't think I can see the light. Because literally, just this morning, out of the blue, I, not out of the blue, my beautiful coworker, she sent me a couple emails. And then there were some projects that I even forgot that I'm working on. And I thought that I will check it tonight. So, and I was thinking, literally, this is me telling my brother when I was coming to your place.
Yeah.
I was like, I think I'm gonna stay an all-nighter just to finish some stuff. So tomorrow I'm not gonna have much to do. Because I really feel like I'm way behind. Even though now I only have one job.
Yeah.
But I have one job where I'm the only one that is working, so I get all the jobs. But yeah.
And you've been dealing with the repercussions of burnout, which is taking care of
I'm not gonna
yourself,
lie to you
right?
know what? I had like some intrusive thoughts. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just gonna walk to my manager. I'm like, is it okay if just like for 1 month or something, like, I don't wanna hear nothing from you guys. I don't wanna, like, you know, just like forget that I exist. Like, just give me a break. I really need a break. You know, like that.
Don't BCC me, don't CC me,
Exactly,
don't
like nothing. Like, just
I'm muting
forget.
all the chats.
Yeah, I wish, but I don't think that managers do actually understand what's the burnout. I'm like, what again? Come again? Do you want to increase your salary? At this point, I don't want. I just want the rest.
Now
And I'm.
capitalism, you're just a number. Like
Yeah.
you fill the slot.
Yeah. And then I saw, I think it was a video or something. It was saying that, like, when usually you tell people, like, oh, you feel the burnout or you're in burnout, whatever, they were like, oh, you should take a rest. Or you should. But that's not actually the solution. Because even though when I'm resting, I'm still thinking about the stuff that I have to do. So literally, I am exhausting myself as I'm resting. It's not
Yeah.
resting.
My dreams, they're just a continuation of reality.
Exactly. So it just feels like resting is not really the proper thing to say to people when they're telling you like they are exhausted and they are burnout and stuff. But
Yeah, for real.
so you said that you started seeing the light. What made you start seeing the light? Like, what did you do? What you changed? You know. Well,
I fucking quit. I quit. I
yeah.
burned out.
Do you think that you made the right decision? Honestly.
Yeah, definitely,
Deep down in your heart, you think that you made the right
hundred
decision.
percent.
Okay.
And it was the most difficult thing I've done in a very long time. But I had there was for me like there was really no other option. It was either continue in the way that I was and be miserable and completely miss the mark in the long run because.
You didn't think that you can just take a break and resume?
I think originally that was the game plan, but
Mm-hmm.
then the break turned into,
You enjoyed the break, and you're
the break was 2 months, and then it was 3 months, and then 8 months, and then a year, and now it's been a year and some change. And but the longer that the break continues, the more I've been reflecting and meditating and starting to see patterns and behaviors and also like the need to. I feel like part of fixing a burnout is re-inspiring yourself, you know? And the therapy that comes with dealing with that, whether it's, you know, literal therapy or physical therapy or, you know, whatever your form of therapy is, like, is so important. And that's really what I've been focused on. And that for me became my job. That became a form of art for me. Cause I was like, damn, dude, I wasn't feeling good. I didn't even, some days I wake up and not even want to be like, damn, I wish I just didn't wake up.
Yeah, I know this too.
Yeah.
You know, because you know that after burnout, if you really actually like lasted for long enough, the next step is actually depression.
Oh, yeah.
It felt that for me as well.
Heavy.
Yeah.
Heavy. Like,
I don't know, if for some reason you really don't see any point of anything you do.
No, I really didn't even want to be alive some days. Like,
same.
And that lasted for a while. That lasted for a minute. And it was a dark place. Like,
I think at some point when I get really overwhelmed with everything, and I really have no energy to do nothing. Like, I can't barely even get out of bed rather than actually go to work and do stuff. But like, man, I just want this to end, you know?
Yeah.
One way or another, just like, please stop it. Because I'm like, I'm done. And I had a lot of days when I was like, I am done.
Same. I question everything. My existence, you know? But getting out of it, I feel like the reason that I'm coming over the hump is because I spent time really like deep diving into what makes me me. And like, I read this book by Eckhart Tolle called A New World. And it talks about the ego. And it's actually all about the ego. And identity, and talks about religion, it talks about laws of the universe and all kinds of things, how your thoughts manifest, but it's mostly about the ego and how we attach, you know, our job, our name, our family, all these structures in society to like our identity. And whenever things go wrong or something slips out or you have to shift, like your identity is thrown out of whack because now you're not that. So, yeah. And I read that book. I read a bunch of books, but that one helped me a lot. And I went on some really good shroom trips. But yeah, I was soul searching because I needed to feel good. You know, I just wanted to be happy. And
yeah, I think that's everyone's goal, just to be happy.
Yeah.
Doing what they are doing. I think for me, my first thing that I started doing, which I didn't know the first thing that I check in the morning was my emails and if I'm getting anything from work, and I stopped that. I'm like, I'm not doing anything and I'm not checking my phone. I just like put it on D&D until I get into the office.
Boundaries.
I'm like, I'm not checking no emails, I'm not doing anything. And also, when I used to be on my lunch break, I'm like, again, my internet is off. You're not going to get a hold of me. Whatever the fuck is happening can wait. I mean, it's not the end of the fucking world. So I just do not. My lunch break is my lunch break. I will do whatever the fuck I want.
Yep.
When I'm back into the office, then we can talk about whatever the hell you guys want to talk about.
Maybe.
I mean, not maybe. I mean, I'm supposed to. I'm like, I need to. But yeah. And also, I stopped, what do you call it? Saying that, I think that's something, I didn't stop, but like, I'm working on it. I don't hold my self-worth based on how productive I am.
That's so powerful too.
Because you can just be. And you are still worthy and you're still enough. You don't have to be doing a bunch of shit to be like, oh yeah, I am living and I am like...
Right.
You can just like... You need to give yourself rest to be...
Just being alive. Right.
Exactly. So for me, for a long time, especially in weekends, I'll be sitting. I really should have no work. But for some reason, I feel like guilty for the rest that I'm taking. I'm like, no, I'm supposed to be doing something. I can't just like stay still. At first, I thought that I'm like restless, but I'm not restless. Like, I just don't know how to fucking rest. So that was that. So I was just like, I am whatever the fuck I am, regardless if I'm doing something or I'm not doing it. I mean... It helped. I'm still working on it because I still have days where I'm like, fuck, you haven't really done shit. You're supposed to be doing something. It's just like, it's on and off. So, I don't know. I'm just like, I'm trying. Trying counts, I guess.
Yeah. And that's natural. I think that's a human trait. And that's also all this feedback we get. Hustle culture. You know, it's everywhere that you look. It's in every movie. It's every article, magazine. People idolize celebrities and famous people. Like, if you're not doing something, then you're nothing. You know, if you're not getting likes, you're not getting views, you're not getting paid enough money. And it fucking, that shit's rough because, you know, we start to believe it. But you're right. Like, I feel like just being alive, just walking outside and looking at the sun and the clouds and the trees.
Just being present in the moment, enjoying the little stuff, is still actually being productive.
Exactly.
But yeah, so that's just like the little stuff that I'm doing. I think also me coming here to like to my home country is like a reason for me to be like, you know what, I'm taking a little time off. Hopefully I'll recharge and, you know, come back to Cyprus.
Shout out Morocco.
Me, blah, 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 blah. We don't know if that's actually going to be the case.
Honestly, what a beautiful place to like get to call home though.
Morocco?
Yeah, but this Morocco, like ever since I got here, this has been the place that honestly pushed me back over my hump.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, this is where I feel solace. Like, I felt comfortable here. I think it being Ramadan is also a factor because
everyone's chill.
Everyone's chill, but...
So, we discussed the reasons for burnout. We discussed the symptoms. We discussed how we maneuvered the whole burnout. I mean, for me, I'm still in my road to recovery. You're ahead. I'm behind a bit. But anyway, so as I was preparing for the episode, I actually saw an article that was talking about how a burnout is related to like childhood trauma or just like trauma in general. And it has to do with if you grew up not really being praised enough. I mean, most African parents, I guess. I mean, and parents. Other parents in other regions. But mostly, I think it's an African thing because it's something that I know almost all my African friends, or even some Arab friends, like, they don't really get praised enough. So you only get praised when you maybe have an A, or maybe when you did a good project, or you were first in the class, or when you were, you know, you only hear that, oh, you're doing good, is when you achieve something. And you kind of, that satisfaction, you always kind of keep seeking it with that feeling of, you know what, validation. And then even when you start going to college, university, because at the end of the day, burnout can actually happen at any stage of, you know, your life. It can happen in uni, can happen in college, can happen when you start working.
Anything you're applying yourself to.
Yeah, exactly. So if you actually go in with the mindset that I have to achieve more, I have to do more so I can be praised more, that I will feel the validation that I need to feel, or feel like, okay, you know what, I'm worthy and I'm good enough, and, you know, be the, how can I think, exactly how your parents wants to see you kind of thing, especially if you're seeking your parents' validation, then you're gonna get into the point where you're overworking and just driving yourself to a burnout, madness at some point, because, oh, well, I need that validation. I need that, like, oh, good job, my son, I think.
Yeah,
I
mean, pat on the back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So for me, I did come from that background. I hardly heard, like, oh, you're doing good, unless, like, or even not even to you sometimes. You know, I don't know, for us, we have this, like, when, you know, when you go with your parents to someone else's house or they just meet someone in the street and they start bragging about their kids and they only do that because, like, oh, you know what, my kid actually got this. I think that's a Moroccan thing, I guess. Like, when my mom will go out or we are in someone else's house, they'll be like, ask about the kids and how they're doing in school, blah, blah, blah. Oh, you know, Maya actually got this. And I'm like, you feel a certain way, which is really nice, but it's really bad at the same time.
Yeah, because what if you don't work hard enough and then there's nothing to talk about when she meets her friends in the street?
That. Sometimes it was really bad that you're not even going to hear, oh, good job. You will only hear it when they want to brag in front of their friends.
Right.
So it was just like, you could have just said it to me.
Yeah, and honestly, that's we have to kind of give ourselves a little bit more grace too, because the parents that raised us all come from the same era, and it's the same across the board. Like, they didn't really grow up with this level of emotional intelligence and spiritualism. Yeah. So they, yeah.
Especially emotional intelligence. They have none.
Almost, yeah, zero. Yeah. And it's so evident in the way that we're like, we got programmed. You know? And it's, yeah, you're right. So trying to get that pat on the back is rough, and it manifests in so many different ways. You become like a people pleaser sometimes. I dealt with that. I was a people pleaser.
I think I used to be a people pleaser when I was in like in high school, secondary school. After that, I was like, fuck everybody. I think I was just tired. I'm like, no, it's not gonna work for me.
Yeah, I'm pretty fuck everybody right now, but there was a long period of time where and that's also part of how I was raised. Like, I wanted so bad not to be like annexed from, you know, like a group or work or whatever, my community. So I would, you know, I would take harder hits. I would take more jobs. I would do X, Y, Z. If somebody behaved in a way that I didn't really agree with, like, I would deal with it.
Yeah, you know what? For some reason, talking about this, I just remembered that when I was taking two jobs and I was working, and I would like talk to my mom on the phone, and I was like, mom, I'm really tired, and you know, like, I'm working this, doing that. I would be thinking, like, I don't know, maybe just like me being naive, thinking that she's gonna be like, hey, you know what, you're really doing a good job, I'm proud of you, or something like that. It's just literally a fucking one sentence.
Yeah,
you can just say it. But she would just say something in Arabic, which is, I think, something that the from the Quran, I guess. And then she would just say, like, which literally translates to, you don't have to really exhaust yourself, you know, do what you can. And I'm like, oh God, thank God I didn't say the word. But like, woman, like, I'm doing more than I can, because I really, like, you know, I'm a hard-working person. I have certain goals that I want to achieve. Can you fucking see that? And you just tell me, like, oh, you just work what you can. Don't exhaust yourself. And that really used to piss me off.
Yeah. No, it's frustrating.
Yeah. Because, like, can't you really see how hardworking I am?
I feel like, at least me, I can tell when somebody is trying to get a reaction, right? Like, mm-hmm. somebody's telling you, like, yeah, man, and I did this, and this, and like, phew. And then I did it. It was cool.
Yeah.
That's the moment where you're like, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, good job.
Yeah. Congratulate. Like, it's fucking, hey.
Yeah.
Pat on the back.
I do that with my friends.
Yeah, we get that, though.
Yeah.
Because we didn't receive it. And it is so frustrating. Like, I feel like you have to go out of your way not to give somebody that, right?
Yeah. For some reason, that's something I still struggle with till today. I mean, yeah. I mean, we can't change our parents, so there is no point if even discussing this at this point.
No, it's generational.
Yeah. It's just like, it's sad. That's the only thing I can say about it. It's really sad.
It's cool to be sitting here, though, because I do realize that, like, all the trauma is generational. And when you're at a place where you're burning out because of it, it probably means that you're meant for greater things. It means you do have more emotional intelligence, you're more cognizant, you're more aware, like, you have more spirit, you know. Yeah. So
because I think a lot of people may already have this going on with them, but they don't even know the reason why they don't even know what's going on with them. They just think that maybe they're just tired and exhausted, and they maybe worked a lot, that they should take some break. But yeah, and it's really insane how can something like just you not hearing a couple words or a couple sentences growing up can make you the person that you are today. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's like how the absence of just something really, I mean, if they said it then, it just literally doesn't fucking take 2 seconds. Like, good job, I'm proud of you. Like, you know, but it's gonna take you years for you to recover from a burnout, something that actually was caused mainly, or some, like, you know, it is related to how you actually grew up.
I used to get stuff like, you know, I would do something that I thought was good, and it would be like the response from my mom would be more like, oh yeah, you should try it this way next time, or maybe you should try this next time. Like, it wasn't even an acknowledgement that I did it. It was just like, you could do this and it would be better.
But this is better.
Yeah, like, I'm dying.
Yeah, like, please. But yeah, so...
Yeah, anyways.
It's like, the burnout is just... I don't know, I feel like you just have to... Not catch it, but, like, be aware of actually where you are when it comes to terms of how stressed you are. Is it really just a normal stress? Is it something that became actually chronic and it's a day-to-day thing? Because if you are in the honeymoon phase and you're seeing yourself like you're going all in, maybe you can still catch, you know, just like slow down a bit and you're just gonna get, you don't have to waste all this time just like, you know, trying to recover and finding, because for me, if I knew that my way of going about the two jobs would leave me here, I wouldn't have. Maybe I would have slowed down. Maybe I would have quit one and just kept one. Or I have found another way to deal with it for me to not feel the way that I'm feeling or I felt like a month ago. Because I would have saved a lot of energy if I just like knew or like I caught it like earlier on. So
it's hard to say though. And I mean, you have you heard about the global awakening?
Yeah.
That term. Like a lot more people are getting to this point because programming, like we're in the matrix, man. You know, like I feel like we've been put in these positions to live these lives that aren't natural. And I feel like burnout honestly is, it's kind of like the balance is becoming, it's getting like, fucking, how do I say that? We're restoring the balance.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the burnout is you kind of realizing like, oh, this isn't, none of this is right.
Yeah. I mean, how can I say? I just wouldn't want anyone to reach this like stages that we reached when it comes to burnout. So if you can actually, I don't know, be more self-aware, just do your best and then just call it a day. Don't go the extra mile because if you're just doing it for the money or for whatever reason, self-validation or whatever, I think Right. Those things are just like...
You're going to crash and burn.
Exactly, which we don't want anyone to actually reach because believe me, the way that I've been seeing, I'm tired. It's not annoying. It just becomes... Yeah. I wouldn't want anyone to feel this way.
Yeah.
So that's our take from this episode. And
the impression in my bed while I was going through that burnout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we came to the end of our episode. I would like to thank you for being my guest. I hope it won't be the last. Maybe you're going to come to Cyprus and we can record a couple more. And
I think that'd be fun.
Yeah. So this is it. I hope you guys enjoyed it. And until next time.
Yep. Take it easy.